Hi, everybody, and welcome to the first installment of the podcast Disability Talks, an Illinois Guardianship and Advocacy Commission perspective. This podcast was created to provide information about disability rights and disability advocacy in the state of Illinois through a topic-based interview format. The podcast will be offered quarterly and will cover some of the issues that Illinois Guardianship and Advocacy Commission discovers and confronts in our work with the disability community. The Illinois Guardianship and Advocacy Commission is an agency in the Illinois state government. The agency is comprised of three divisions that advocate for disability rights in the states. The division are first, the Office of State Guardian, which provides guardianships as appointed by a court for adults with disabilities when there's no one else to serve. Second is Legal Advocacy Services, which provides legal representation for adults receiving mental health services involuntarily. And finally, we have the Human Rights Authority, which investigates allegations of rights violations against individuals with disabilities by disability service providers. In addition to the work of each division, the Human Rights Authority and the Legal Advocacy Services work together to operate the agency's Special Education Initiative. The initiative enables the agency to provide advocacy tools to families and students navigating special education services in Illinois public schools. We also want to add that while the Illinois Guardianship and Advocacy Commission does offer some legal services, this podcast is all about sharing information. We're not giving legal service here. It's important to know that you shouldn't use this podcast as a substitute for professional legal help. So in today's episode, we cover the Special Education Initiative that I talked about in the intro. And joining us for the podcast is Laura Hart. Hi, Laura.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am the Special Education Managing Administrator for the Special Education Collaborative. I was a Human Rights Authority investigator prior to this position, and now I help run the advocacy portion of the Special Education.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for being here. So I want to start out asking you, how did the collaboration between LAS and HRA come about?
So it's my understanding that prior to my time, we used to offer some special education supports that kind of went away. And then about 2018, we were noticing an increase in the special education cases that the Human Rights Authority was getting. So the administration here within the agency decided that we would work on some trainings to help our board members and our staff understand special education law. And I have a history with training, so I joined that group. That training grew from one day trainings to online trainings to now a recorded training. And then that led us to realized that we needed to pull together the Legal Advocacy Services program and the Human Rights Authority to put something in place that could help with students' concerns a little quicker than the HRA investigative process.
So what kind of services does the SPED collaboration offer?
So we offer services in three categories. The first category is information and training. That can be anything from people emailing me questions about what's happening to phone calls, creating trainings for people who need trainings, offering to attend other trainings with them and help put a special education perspective on it. Any way that we can get information out about the laws and the rights of individuals with disabilities in the school system. The second area we offer services in is advocacy, and I'm very proud of how this program has developed into a very strong support system for parents and students who are navigating IEPs, special education services. So we don't represent parents. We're here to help ensure that parents have the support they need. So helping them prepare for meetings, sometimes that means attending meetings with them virtually, decompressing afterwards, just making sure that people understand what their options are, what their rights are, so that they can make the best choices for their students. Then the third area is legal services. And so periodically we've gone to advocacy, we've done all the things we can do within the school district, and the parents in the school district don't agree. And so they have rights available to them, mediation and due process. And you are 70% more likely to be successful in mediation or due process if you're represented by an attorney. So we do offer mediation and due process representation as our third area.
So I want to ask a couple of questions about the services that you just explained. What is the criteria for accepting cases in both advocacy and the legal side of things?
So we're always looking at the mandates that govern our agency as a whole. And so with those mandates, we have to have an individual with a disability, a disability service provider, which in all of our cases is the school district. And then we have to have a potential law violation. So with the advocacy part of that means a whole lot of things. Sometimes we're providing support because people don't understand their rights and how the law applies to them. Sometimes we're providing advocacy because a law has been violated and the parents need assistance with what to do next. And so it looks very different for each of the advocacy cases that come in. But as long as it meets that criteria, we're able to look at those cases. For legal services, it looks a little bit differently. So the mediation and due process is just a very small piece of special education. It's just super important that an attorney who has experience with that environment and understands the law be a part of that. And so their criteria is a little more like hiring an attorney would be outside of the agency. There is a contract, a retainer, and a full discussion about, you know, what's going on, what the expectations are. And it looks a little bit different, but it still kind of falls under that. Do we have an individual with a disability? Do we have a school district or a provider? And do we have a potential law violation that's going to result in a need for mediation or due process?
So when you're talking about services before, you also brought up trainings. Can you tell me a little bit about the trainings that you offer?
Sure. So this all started because of a training. We had created an 8-hour training for our HRA board members and our staff to understand special education law. And then COVID hit, and our 8-hour training became an online training that we were doing. And we have now condensed it into 4-hour training that's broken up into four sections. We call it the Special Education Overview Training. We do offer that like web-based, live, or in person if it's requested, but we have been able to put it online where parents can have access to it anytime they would like, day or night, and they can kind of jump in there and go back for refreshers. So that seems to be successful for the overview piece of it. We also offer training on supported decision making. That is an option available to families that are transitioning once a student turns 18. So we want to make sure they understand that option through the transition process. We have a child find training, which is really just a very small piece of special education, but it is one of the areas where we found there to be the most confusion. So we worked with early intervention and created a training for that. And so they request that we come give those periodically. And then the last big one we have is an educational rights training that's directly designed for students to help them understand what their rights are as they're navigating transition and getting older, and what they need to be doing in the school setting or what is available to them in that school setting. I'm willing to create all kinds of trainings, fill in gaps and things like that. We have a lot of providers that will call and say, hey, we only really deal with transition. Can we get somebody to come and tell us about how we can find the laws and the policies for transition? And so then we'll do that individually for them. We make referrals a lot over to Family Matters. They are the federally funded Parent and Training Information Center. They do a great deal of wonderful trainings over there that are pre-recorded for a lot of them. So if it's something we need and we can't find it in our staff, we try to find it through theirs. And then if it doesn't exist, then we try to develop it ourselves.
So I bet people listening would be wondering about this question I'm about to ask you. Are there any fees for any of these services?
So all of our services are free for advocacy, information, training. We are a state agency. And so there is a small caveat for our legal services that will be reviewed with a parent when they complete their contract to hire an attorney for mediation or due process. There's some small things that could end up being expenses for them, but it's completely reviewed with them when they're doing their paperwork.
Oh, that's great. So we talked about criteria for case acceptance. Is there any other criteria that families or professionals, for families or professionals that need assistance?
Not really. Our mandate, because it is the way it is, that we just need to have a disability rights violation. We can really help in a lot of areas. The special education program itself tries to work within the criteria of special education law. So we're working very specifically with the federal law for IDEA, which is the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. We look at the Illinois laws for special education and school code. And so this particular program really works with things that are impacted by special education.
That's great. So do you have any examples of how the SPED initiative has assisted families, since it's been going?
Absolutely. It looks different for every family because every family decides what they want that support to look like. We find that a lot of the impact comes from helping parents understand what to expect. Some of our biggest success stories that I feel like we have come from just empowering the parents, knowing what kind of meeting we're going into and teaching them how to look at a notice of conference so they know who is going to be attending the meeting and what kind of meeting it is written right there. Helping them understand the process of, getting draft paperwork, what to look at, what to expect. And once parents feel empowered, a lot of the cases are successful because they're able to take that information and either go out on their own or have an advocate supporting them and do that. We've had some really wonderful situations where students would have otherwise been moved out of district and the policies and procedures were not followed. And when we went back and went through those policies and procedures with the parents and with the district, it turns out the least restrictive environment was where they were at with supports. And so those ones are really wonderful. We've had some very successful mediations. We do our best to be as flexible as we can to give support where parents think they need it. And that seems to be working.
So if a family thought that they could use the services by the SPED collaboration, how would they be able to reach you?
So we have actually multiple ways to do that. The agency has a 1-800 number. And so if you call that intake line for the Illinois Guardianship and Advocacy Commission, they will get you to special education representative. There's also on our website more information, a really overview of our services and our trainings. There's also a form you can fill out and submit your information and it comes to us and then someone calls them back. I'm happy to take intakes directly. If they want to get a hold of me through my email, we can schedule a time to discuss things. A lot of people don't know what they need when they call in, so it's a really good place to start sometimes to sort it out. Our paralegal handles intake calls. I handle intake calls and just kind of decide what it is they need and get them to the right person.
Well, that's great. I've kind of the end of the questions that I have. Thanks a lot, Laura, for the information. It was great hearing about the SPED Collaborative. Thanks to everybody for listening. If you have any questions about SPED or any of the other GAC services that we talked about in the introduction, please check out our website at gac.illinois.gov or call our intake line at 1-866-274-8023. Thanks a lot. Thanks again for listening, and everybody have a great day.